Right now on VFN TV, the history of revivals in the world and America, how God actually used one particular man to speak to government, to prophesy a revival, but first came was difficult times and a drought. Do you know we're about to come out of that? As a matter of fact, I think I see this, the cloud, a particular cloud, the size of a man's hand. It's about to rain right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kolaszewski. Well, you think about it. You think about Gideon. I don't know if you remember Gideon or heard about Gideon, but he was an Israeli, he was a Jew. He was eking out a living. Things have been really bad. They've been in a time of oppression, oppressive government. The particular government that was over them at the time was oppressive. And just he had to be in a wine press, eking out a living. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up in the midst of this great governmental oppression, in the midst of nobody remembering what God did historically, and looks at Gideon and says, mighty man of valor. You know, and here he is in the midst of eking out 11, right? He looks up at this angel and he's looking like, mighty man of valor. And that was the beginning of God reviving Israel. I mean, it looked bleak. It looked difficult. It looked really tough. But understand, that's how it always comes to that point. That we're at the most humblest point. And the darkest moment of the night is right before the dawn in the morning. And I don't want you to give up hope. I want you to realize all along the reason why we're doing what we're doing, you know, at VFN, the VFN Dream Center, and VFN TV, is to encourage you. We see a future. We hear the sound of rain coming, and we wanted to be able to help you get through the situation as we come out into the light. And first today, I want to remind you of the history of revival in America, the many moves of God and all the many of the men and women that are being used by God. And we're going to look back at the life of Elijah, not Gideon, and see what happened in the history. It'll get you really encouraged, because sometimes you're feeling that your worst, God's about to do his greatest thing. Let's take a look.
With love. They keep on forever.
He gave his life. He says, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down.
No one I ever talked to that had an experience was sorry.
I want to see somebody shot without music. I want to see somebody shot without drums.
Smith Wigglesworth prophesied in 1947 these words: when the current church phase is on the decline, there will be something that has not been seen before. It will be a coming together of those with an emphasis on the Word and those with an emphasis on the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be the biggest movement of the Holy Spirit that the nation and indeed the world has ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that has been witnessed.
God, bring forth a Jesus movement where everyone's getting saved. signs and wonders in the streets leading to stadiums.
This is so exciting. Do you think about it? You know, we're seeing history and things that took place. If God's done it before, he can do it again. And in some of the bleakest times, God begins to move. So I want to encourage you. You know, maybe 7-8 years ago, people thought that we didn't need revival. We didn't need to turn to God. And now we're hearing people unify and coming together and to cry out to God. And we're beginning to see the beginning stages of rain. The blessings of God being poured down in revival. It's about to take place in the nation, and I believe the world. Join us after the break because we're going to talk in detail about this. Make sure you join us.
We'll be right back.
How often do you read the Bible? And when you do, for how long at a time?
When teenagers were asked that question in the Barna Group 2016 Teen State of the Bible Research, 7 out of 10 said they not only own a Bible, but 1 in 4 said they read the Bible at least once a week. And a majority said it was for more than 15 minutes at each sitting.
Not surprisingly, with the growth of digital technology and use of mobile devices, teens are increasingly reading the Bible digitally, with nearly 50% engaging with the Bible on a smartphone.
David Kinneman, president of Barna Group, said about the study, "The Bible remains a highly regarded and well-read text among the vast majority of American teens."
Teenagers in a digital age, engaging more than ever with the Bible.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Isn't that so exciting, Steve, to be able just to see history?
Yes.
You know, and I think about the Lord's just really been speaking to me about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Some things I can share, some things I can't share. And but one is, you know, when you look back at the 60s and the 70s that birthed a lot of these folks today that are doing what they're doing, but there was a powerful move of God at the very same time.
And
we're showing me, I think we're going to go back to that time again where it's going to be common to see people in transient, you know, people just you know, living off the land and doing different things. They had like the hippie movement that was going on in the 60s. And in that, you had this powerful, you know, charismatic movement. But in that time, great tragedy was taking place. You think about it. You think about that, you know, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 1963. Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated like in 1968. Senator Robert Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy's brother, while he was running for president, was assassinated like a month later after Dr. King. You had Roe versus Wade, where people were saying, you know, let's kill our children, you know. They began to say, you know, let's abort our children. Divorce became, you know, the beginning, the seedbed of divorce was sown to where, you know, you had to have cause to divorce someone back then. You couldn't just say, I'm going to divorce you. You know, you had to go to court and prove that there was a violation, really, of biblical standards to be able to have a divorce. That was just hours ago. And then all this movement, of which our, you know, Secretary Hillary Clinton takes a lot of credit for that move, when she's talking about Planned Parenthood, and she's talking about that she walked or was participating in the time of Gloria Steinem and the woman thing that was going on at the time. And now here we are today, and nobody really knows who they are or what's going on. It's like, you can say, well, that's a negative thing. Well, of course it's a negative thing. It's the adversary beating up on mankind, but understand this. But in the midst of all that, when it looks that bad and droughts happen, that's when all of a sudden God says, now I'm gonna move. Now that there's no water anywhere, you can't find any grass for your cattle, that you can't find any milk for your children, that you cannot find a place to lay your head. Now you'll know. He says in Hosea chapter 2, as a matter of fact. In Hosea chapter 2, the book, it's a book by a prophet named Hosea. In chapter 2, he talks about that, you know, I gave you all these things and that, you know, you begin to worship the things that I gave you. And then you begin to make them your lover. And then you begin to turn to them and say, you know, my job is the one that's giving me this money. My hands are what's giving me this money. And, you know, the American government's what's giving me this, that kind of thing. And so what God says, I'm going to take it all from you.
That's right.
I'm going to take everything from you. Everything from you. And I'll cause an environment to get to a certain point that you won't want your lovers, the things that you're in love with, whether it's government or business or money, you won't even want, it won't anything to do with you. You just want y'all just repel each other. That's what he's going to do. So even the very thing that you love to do, that God says don't do, you'll even begin to repel it. Nothing will please you. And he says he does this in Hosea chapter 2. He takes you into the wilderness, into a dry place. And that's what happened in the time with Israel when God told Elijah, he said, you know, I want you to tell government something. I want you to tell them this. I want you to tell the king, it was King Ahab, but it's the government. I want you to tell them that it's not going to rain. And it's real difficult to do. I mean, you know, anybody that moves prophetically, you're always living beyond the hill, and people are always wondering, we finally got here. It's like, yeah, but God has me on the other side of the hill now.
I'm past this hill.
Enjoy yourself. I've been there a while. I'm going to go to the other side. And so he, of course, the government looks at the church and goes, really? For real? Mm-hmm. I didn't even pay attention to it. But you know what? Drought hit. It didn't rain. And the agricultural society, you think about it, an agricultural society that does not have rain, if your cows don't have rain, if your, you know, your wheat doesn't have rain, your grain doesn't have rain, nothing has rain, you don't have rain to be able to drink in your aquifers or anything of that nature, that you're going to starve.
No crops, that's right.
Your cows are going to starve. Everybody's going to, it's not going to be good. And so in that drought began to happen for 3.5 years. Because a man believed God, a man listened to God. And this is so important because God speaks. And you'll start doubting God's voice because so many people refuse to think that he speaks. Or they don't want to hear what he has to say. They don't want a prophet to come anywhere near them because they're scared that their prophet will change their nonprofit. You know, a nonprofit is not just a corporation mindset for quite a lot of people. They don't want any prophets around because they got a vision, they got a plan, and they're going to do something. And they don't want people coming around telling them what God's saying, so mess it up.
Yeah.
Versus like, hey, let's just drop everything. If God says something different, do what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so he believed God, and he spoke that prophetic word out. Is he a meteorologist? No, he wasn't somebody that determined the weather. No, he wasn't. He was just a typical, ordinary man, he says about in the book of James. But God told him, I don't know if it was in a dream. I don't know if it was directly. I believe it may have been in a dream. And just said, you know, just tell him it's not going to rain. Can you imagine going to the president of the United States and say, I just want to let you know, that God said it's not going to rain. It's like Secret Service, could you get, we got another one of those prophet guys here in the White House. And, but he did. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And that's so serious. We have a lot of reserves in America, but there's no reserves at that particular time. And so imagine now, after 3.5 years of famine, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. God's going to speak again. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a time when God speaks, and you're going to have to go through a season where you're not hearing him. You don't hear God. But you have to remember what he said. People who don't know God, people who follow their flesh, people who live off the natural things of the land, they'll beat the stew out of you. They'll try to destroy you. They'll call you a liar. They'll say all these different things. They'll go, hey, I want to go play with my toys. And you got to hold on. You got to hold on because God said, There's something he's doing here. He wasn't just trying to deprive God's people or the people of the land of water. That's not what he was trying to do. He was trying to show them that he's the one that provides the water. Mm-hmm. Ahab, the king, the government at the time, was worshiping Baal and Asherah and Dagon, and you know, saying that was God and that's who provided for them. And it wasn't, but just like Hosea, he's saying, you're giving these fake gods credit for what's going on. And that's not true. As a matter of fact, I'll back off, the one who actually causes the rain, and we'll just see if your gods, Jezebel, if your gods, Ahab, actually caused things to rain. Of course, they didn't. Mm-hmm. They were all thirsty in 3.5 years, right? And so God speaks to Elijah and says, you know, go tell the government that it's about to rain. And so he goes and tells King Ahab, the government, he says, you know, you better hurry up and get back to your, you know, to the White House. You know, you better get back to the government, get to your place, because you got to beat the rain. It's going to rain so much that you might not be able to make it there. I mean, think about it. This comes from a time of no rain at all. There's like no, it is so dry. I mean, they're out of chapstick. You know what I'm saying? It's just dry. It's dry as can be. But you got to be brave enough. You got to be brave enough. Forget about what people think about. Who cares? You're going to stand eternity with God. You're going to get to heaven with all them folks. They're going to look at you and go, I'll be doggone. Right. It was absolutely God. And so you had to be able to say there's not going to be rain when it was just rain yesterday. You may have rain dripping down your face. But if God told you there's not going to be no rain, and he told you you need to prophesy to the government, and you need to tell them there's not going to be a rain, it might not be for Ahab. It wasn't for Ahab. Ahab was going to die with an arrow through his armor. Jezebel was going to be trampled to death under a whole bunch of horses. It was for all the people that were following. It was the people that were watching this story play out around them. So God may be having you talk to government or authority, not for the authority's sake. They may have made up their mind they're going against God. But everybody else that follows them hears you say that. And so when he delivered that word that there was going to be a drought, he probably was still wet from yesterday's rain. But now it's been 3.5 years with no rain. The government's out looking for some fuel for their trucks, or basically this is what was going on. They're out looking for grass for their horses because they couldn't find grass anywhere. And all of a sudden he runs into Elijah. And just in case you don't know this, the government hated the prophet because every time he prophesied, it was like, oh, you're just giving me hard words, as if he was making those words up himself. And he would credit the prophet for the words versus God speaking to him. Man, God's speaking to you right now. I want to encourage you to pay attention because, I mean, you don't want to miss God. And Ahab, the government, actually thought it was mankind. He thought it was a political party. He thought it was some sort of, it's God speaking to us even right now in America. But anyway, so here he's so dry. Everything is so dry. Here again, he has to go to government and he has to say in the presence of dryness, you know, just parched land and empty aquifers and not even grass, not even brown grass, it's just dead stuff. He had to look somebody square in the eye and say, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And it's going to rain so bad that if you don't get on your horse and you get back to your palace, you're not going to make it there. These are people that fear God. When you're willing to do that, and there's a lot of people do that because that's what they want, and they're not hearing from God. But I'm talking about if you hear from God, I mean, God needs some people that's going to repeat what he tells them to say. Because people need to understand that God speaks. If you haven't gone to EZ12.org, just look how God speaks. EZ12.org. But he speaks. He's constantly speaking. The question is, are we listening to him and are we following what he's saying? And so here he was talking to this dry king. I'm sure he actually crackled when he rode on his horse. It was so dry. Probably the horse is all shriveled up, looking at bones and stuff out there. The horse is like, this, you know, sweat on their stuff. So here, look at this. But he was brave enough to look and say, you know what? It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain so bad that you're not gonna make it back to your palace. But you know what he had to do? He had to go back and begin to pray. So many people prophesy, but they never pray. He actually had to pray that it would happen as God called it to be. He had to call in the rain.
Yeah.
So many people say, this is what God told me, but have you even prayed? Have you even asked? I thank God for those that are in the VFN prayer and fasting community because they ask God continually and pray. And we're seeing so many answers to prayer. It is amazing. But just because God says it doesn't mean it's going to happen unless we get in agreement with heaven what's going on. And you can do that. Imagine if the church begins to pray the will of God and what he's saying. And so he sent his servant out there to look up if he saw anything in the clouds. Now, he already has the word out there already. It's already broadcasted around the world. You know, they're picking it up in South Korea going, you know, Greg Lancaster says it's going to rain, right? And so, you know, he's got his head between his knees basically going, dear God, let it rain now, you know? And he sends his servant out there and he says, what do you see? And it was probably was Pat. He's coming back and goes, I don't see none. It doesn't look like rain. It's as dry as it's possible to be. Probably shouldn't have said that. No, he didn't. It's not what Pat would say. But the thing about it is that he didn't see anything. Yeah. He was honest. So he said, let's pray some more. So he prays some more and he says, go look again. And he says, what do you see? And eventually God showed him that there was an army, a host of army of all of God's angels around them. Do you know you have, God is just orchestrating an outpouring for the world. That's what he's doing right now. We can either cooperate with him and prepare for what he's going to do, or we could allow the flood to flow right over us and go, you know, I knew about that, but I just missed the whole thing, right? This is what God is preparing for, an outpouring. He's preparing for such a huge wave of his glory to hit this earth, but you have to understand what happens. You have to begin to pray and get in agreement. Don't be in agreement with the drought. Get in agreement with God who's getting with God who's actually getting everybody ready to cry out for rain. And so he looks around and he sees, God gives him the ability to see in the heavenlies how the heavenly host is gathered all around them, and God was getting ready to just start rain. He says, wait a minute, I think I see a cloud, but it's the size of a man's hand. Elijah quits praying. It's done. It's a done deal. Isn't it awesome? He tucked in his
cloak
and his Reeboks. He took off and beats the king to his place.
Yeah.
Imagine how exciting this is, that you know, get invited to what God's saying. You know what happened? Just like God said, it began to pour. And God brought a whole nation and confronted their false gods and their image and Baal and Dagon and Asherah, and brought all of Jezebel's prophets in and called down fire. God, the answer is by fire. And it just happened. But it began understanding the drought that we're in. We're fixing to go to a break right here, and we're going to come back. We're going to continue talking about this. But understand, just like we saw historically and what's taking place in the move of God, we have to get in alignment and agreement with heaven and begin to call down what God is saying. And this is what God's saying. God is saying this. He's saying that there's a billion soul harvest coming, a billion souls coming in the kingdom of God. And not just a billion, just any age souls, young folks coming into the kingdom of God. A great harvest is going to begin in 2020. Right now, you need to become a disciple. If you know Jesus Christ, but you've never been discipled, you got to get discipled, because God's going to need you to participate in the harvest. If you don't know Jesus, you need to meet him before this program's up. We'll tell you how to actually meet him.
We'll be right back.
David Weber from San Angelo, Texas, who's a technical training instructor, wants me to talk about conviction. David, I love this quote. I've said it many times. I think it's very true. One person with conviction is a majority. How many times I've seen a group of people that basically didn't know what they wanted or where they were going, but there was one person in the group, they knew. They felt it with passion. They spoke it from the heart. They were determined that that was exactly what they were going to have, and pretty soon other people began to pick up on that conviction. They began to pick up on that passion, and what do you know? Pretty soon that one person with conviction is the majority, and everyone else is following him or her to that desired destination. I've often said to have an answer is a wonderful thing, but to have the conviction of the answer is even more wonderful.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Is this not exciting? If you missed our beginning of our program, we're talking about, you know, God has been speaking about a great harvest, a great revival. From the way that I'm actually seeing what God is showing me and others, as it's so large.
Yeah.
There's so many people that God is preparing their hearts. They've tried everything. They've done everything. They've tasted everything. They've touched everything. God gave them over to everything that like the prodigal, and they realize, you know what? This is not God.
Yeah. I found
this is empty. God will never let you completely fill up the God-shaped hole in your life. I mean, God is the only one that can fill that up.
It's true.
But when He fills it up, when He fills it up. I mean, you have this peace that passes all understanding.
That's right.
There's nothing like it. Somebody says, you know, why do you do what you do? Because God filled my heart up with the love and His presence. And it's like, what else can we do?
Yeah.
And how could we not be willing to pass it to the next generation? Why would we just hoard it to ourselves? And God's been preparing us and many folks for what's about to take place. Imagine 1,000 people a week. I want you to hear, this is what God told Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. Imagine 1,000 people a week coming into your church. You know, so many people, you know, your church gathering, so many people are like, Bob, you know, he visited the church last week and we're so glad to have Bob. Let's show him where the Sunday school class is and you know, those kind of things. Now imagine having 1,000 Bobs come in that week And so 1,000. And then imagine the next
week,
1,000 more.
Yeah.
Another 1,000 people get saved, and they're trying to find people who know Jesus. And as you heard earlier in the program, you know, Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence, he was prophesying. He said, listen, if they can't come to Christians, if they can't come to the church to find the answers, where are they going to go?
Find them. That's right.
So you need to get discipled. You need a disciple is somebody, not somebody who says they're a disciple. A disciple is someone who actually knows Jesus, made Jesus the Lord of their life, who actually gets into God's word, finds out what his teachings are, what he says, how we're to live our life, a Christian lifestyle. And we actually, it's going to shock you. We actually follow it. I mean, if he says take a right,
do it.
If Jesus says take a right, that's not interpreted, let's take a vote. You know what I'm saying? We just take a right. He's God. Mm-hmm. It's not a democracy with God. He's God. But it's okay. He loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. But imagine in this harvest, this is what's coming. And so becoming a disciple, you first of all, you want to be a disciple. Secondly, you want to be prepared to make disciples. Only disciples can make disciples. You know, we got evangelists are going to do their job. They're the ones that go out and just scream and holler and, you know, and God moves and people get excited. Then they blow up.
Blow in, blow out.
And blow out. And you're left with the whole harvest. And you have to raise the harvest. They did what they're supposed to do. But you got to be prepared to disciple those believers.
Clean them up, raise them up.
Listen to what Rick Joyner, what the Lord showed him.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? And we all think that would be incredible. It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. Where it's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged. I believe there's a home group movement. Now, we've had many and great ones. I believe you're going to have home groups in every single neighborhood that are solid, where God is moving, where he is doing awesome things every week, every day, and where people are bonded together.
So could you imagine 1,000 people? There's no building's going to contain this.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.